ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. We're going to talk about, it's the Bears podcast, and we are going to talk about the Bears, but I think we might just talk about the Cubs for a little while, because A, it's more fun, and B, I want to get the thoughts of my co-hosts here, Mike Pusateri and Mike Prasnowski. Guys, how are you?
Doing fantastic after the news that broke yesterday that Craig Counsell is going to be the Cubs manager.
Oh, I thought I thought you were just, you didn't do an emergency podcast last night on the Drew Smiley picking up his option? I thought you guys were talking about. I'm like, well, I guess.
Actually, it was about Jared Young getting claimed on waivers by the Cardinals.
That's a real loss.
Yes, it is.
Jesus, I mean, come on, Jed clearly took his eye off the ball. He got distracted, lost his, you know, fourth best hitter.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you for having me on the Beers and Beat Guys podcast.
That's right. What do you got? Pleasure
to join you. Oh, is that not? You know what? I have a non-alcoholic beer.
Oh well,
so pretty wimpy.
What kind of non-alcoholic though? What do you got?
It's a Penn's Best. It's quite good, actually.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Praz, for the nobody can see him, but Praz is wearing the helmet with the beer cans on both sides, and he's drinking through a straw. He's having some. Looks like a Goose Island 312. Is that what you got there?
Yep. Goose 312.
And I'm drinking a Two Brothers Domaine DuPage.
Nice.
It says no wrong way to say it. I don't know what on this can they think people can't pronounce. It says Two Brothers, Artisan Brewing, Domaine DuPage, French style country ale. Pretty much one way to say all that stuff. I don't. I guess if you get drunk enough, who knows how you'll say it.
Right.
So, right. So I did a. I did a podcast with Tom Loxas last night, and then we couldn't decide. We fought to the death as to who was going to release it, so we just both released it. And then, Prez, I know you guys did one, so you want to give your pod a quick plug?
Yeah, so last night, myself and John Oliva, along with the guys from Barrels and Barrels, another Cubs podcast, we...
Another crossover.
You know, we did a little crossover episode to discuss the Craig Counsell hiring. If you want to go check that out, that's on the Chicago Sports Bums YouTube page. Bums in the Bleachers is the name of the podcast. New Counsell in Session is the name of the episode.
And Mike Pusateri, how did you celebrate the news?
I was not doing a podcast last night, so I celebrated by having a few shots of a few glasses of Bullet Bourbon. So very exciting. Yeah. Quite a day.
Are you the one to thank for getting Bob Odenkirk a new Cub hat to wear when he's picketing?
You know, I'm going to take credit for it because he was at Disney the same day I was at Disney. It was a big Unity picket, and so I'll take credit for it, even though I did not see him there that day.
Yeah, I think it's cool that he always wears a Cub hat when he's doing that, but the original one he was wearing, he clearly sat on it at some point. Yeah. And the bill wasn't curved at all. It was just completely had been folded in half. It was making an upside down V while he was wearing it. It did not look good.
Yeah.
Now he's got like a retro one.
So yeah. Again, I'm going to take credit for giving that to him.
Looks so more like a guy. Come on. Is worth, I don't know, $40 or $50 million. He looks a little better than the one that he got out of it. It looks like he had the Cub equivalent of the hat Joe Madden used to shoved down his pants, his dad's old angel's hat. Maybe that's what Bob was doing.
Yeah, maybe it was.
A little song, a little dance, a Cub hat down your pants.
Little Cub's hat down your pants. Little song, little dance. A little seltzer in your pants.
So we did this on our podcast. On a scale from 1 to 10, how shocked were you when you found out that the Cubs had hired Craig Counsell?
Like a 55, if we're going 1 to 10, because I never thought in a million years after the vote of confidence that Tommy Boy gave David Ross on the last day of the season that they would ever even consider making a move like that.
Poos?
Yeah, I was easily a 10. I was checking Twitter. I was just actually leaving the picket lines. And I saw Rosenthal's tweet, and his tweet was something like, "Chicago Cubs hire counsel," and I'm like,
"Like right. a lawyer?
What? Right. Wait! What do you,
Craig Which counsel are we talking
yeah,
about
wait,
here?
As manager? Like, could you be a little? You got a few more characters to spare there." So then I'm trying to figure, and everything was like Cubs hire counsel, and so it was like, did they fire Ross? Did they really do this? I was pretty I held out hope that they would do it at the end of the year because, you know, although, you know, Ross is like a stepbrother to the Rickets. There's one thing the Rickets love more than family. It's money. And I cannot have been too happy about that.
They parted
collapse.
With both.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In one shot.
One huge shot. Yeah. So I was absolutely stunned, delighted. It's incredible. Still stunned. I'm still stunned.
I was thinking about it. I said on the pod last night, I was on a scale of 1 to 10, I was a billion. I literally hadn't considered it.
Yeah.
Like, I literally thought I knew it was a decision day, you know, it was like signing day. Craig was going to pick which hat was he going to put on, which hoodie.
Right.
Nice to wear hoodies.
Right, right.
And I'm like, just go to the Guardians. Just get out of the National League. Just leave us alone. And never. Dreaming that, and so I was at lunch, and I'm looking at my Twitter mentions, and somebody's on there like, "Hey, is it a Taco Bell celebration day?" And I'm literally at Taco Bell. I'm like, "Yeah, every day is." I'm like, "That's weird." And I'm going through like, "What are we so excited about?" And I thought, "Oh, maybe Council's left the league." And I had to read like four tweets to figure it out.
Hey, me too. It was like
being at the end of a conversation. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I would not have suspected it. Now, I thought about it though. This kind of tracks for the Rickets, right? Like they wasted how many millions of dollars on Scott Walker? That's guy. He's going to be our president, Scott Walker. And then as soon as he couldn't win, it's like, all right, we hate Donald Trump. He's a scumbag. Hey, Don, how much money do you need to get elected? So them changing boats in the middle of the stream is pretty on par with them. This one I think is far more productive than their other.
Far more productive. Yeah.
And as for the vote of confidence, I would just think one of the things my dad always said, which is a pat on the back is only about 2.5 feet from a kick in the ass. And that's what David.
That's a good one. I'll remember Ross that.
But man, you got to give it up for him because clearly all the reports were that. They did not approach the Brewers or Council before November 1st. So this all happened within a few days. Jed flew down to Florida on Sunday morning to tell Ross in person.
Yep.
So they kept it a secret for at least 24 hours. It really bold, just I'm flabbergasted at this move. Shocking.
You know, I put
that and who would have thought?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, who would have thought if we were discussing this a week ago, if the question was who's going to get fired first, Flus or Ross?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the week that the Flus was supposed to get it.
Nope. Yeah.
You know, I posted first the GIF and then the full video of Pesci getting whacked in Goodfellas. But thinking of Ross opening the door on Sunday, it's Matt Damon at the end of The Departed, where he opens the door and there's Jed and he knows he's fucked. It's over. That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, he must have known, like, I mean, Jed's not going to show up because how does he know Ross is there? So he has to call him or text him, like, hey, buddy, you around in 3.5 hours?
Swing by. I can see Ross thinking, oh, that's nice. Jed wants to come by and say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe he saw
make
it
some
as a
toaster
red flag,
strudel.
You know,
it'll be fun.
You know, maybe he could have seen it as a red flag in the fact that if a Cubs front office member drives down to Florida, that's usually a sign of a managerial change coming soon.
Right. Well, last one happened in Florida.
Yeah.
Too. Right.
Right.
Did you stop and buy wine at a convenience store?
Yes.
To woo my replacement?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got into the whole thing, well, I did, about that Ross deserved this more than Ricky Renteria did when Ricky got fired.
Agreed.
Sure. No doubt.
So, I know there are people like, poor Matt Spiegel's having a hard time with it. I heard him yesterday. He was wallowing. And then today he wrote this weird column for their website where it's basically, but David Ross was nice to me repeatedly. Mm-hmm. How could this happen to him? And I got to think about that. And it's like, you know, he lost his job one day. Just walked in and they said, yeah, you're not, there is no more. What was it? It was when Spiegel and Goff, right?
Or McNeil, maybe.
That's me.
When McNeil, like, was holding out for as long as he was.
But, you know, it's like, he was, the minute you take one of those jobs, you know you're going to get fired. It's just a matter of when. Yeah. Right. David Ross was going to manage the Cubs until he was 65 and then get a gold watch and go retire or keel over in the dugout. He was going to get fired. So this whole thing about, it sucks to be him. The way it works, he'll be a manager again.
Right.
And like, some team is going to talk themselves into him.
He's got millions and millions of dollars. He's going to get paid $3.5 million next year. He's got World Series rings. He's having a great life. You know what I mean? He's fine.
And you brought it up with Loxus too, that like the Cubs have not had many managers last 5 years or more like Joe Madden or Jim Riggleman did. Like you have
Isn't
the list is very short for
Joe Madden and Jim Riggleman.
The last two, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Donnie who and I were talking about the fact that it's like, God, Ross is gonna make it to at least 5 years. I mean, come on. Of all the guys they've had. You know, Dusty didn't make it to five. There was a reason for that. Lou didn't make it to five because he said, I'm done. Go, screw this.
Right.
What's that, Mom?
Do you even remember?
What's that, Mom? You fall and you can't get up? I'll be right there.
Like, do you guys even remember the last time a Cubs manager got offered an extension? Because obviously,
Ross
no one
did.
Before Ross right. did.
Before Ross. Yeah.
I think Riggleman must have. He did, there's no way he had a five-year contract. So he
had gotten
two contracts.
Yeah, it's a good question.
But yeah, before that, I mean, I don't. It's probably knowing the way the Cubs were run and Leo was probably on a series of 1 year contracts.
I'm sure he was.
Right.
Well, let me ask it: does the College of Coaches count if you measure it in manager years?
No. Well, I mean, if you give each of them a year of service time just for managing a game, then yeah.
Then that would count.
But the college didn't last 5 years.
No.
They flunked out after. I don't know how long it lasted. Did it go more than a year?
I don't think it went more than a year.
I can't imagine. I mean, like, I can. They're the Cubs.
Yeah.
I like the move because clearly it's meant to so they can go sign Shohei because Shohei has long talked about his love for Craig Counsell and how that's the guy he wants to play for him. So Jed saw that and focused in on it. But it'll, the pessimist in me worries that this got sold to Tom with, like, look at this. Yeah, we pay the manager $8 million. We don't have to do shit with payroll. The guy wins with anybody. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I do. I'm heartened by the fact that if I know, I think I know Craig Counsell, at least his intellect, well enough to know he got assurances when he signed that deal.
He had to. He had to. Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay, you're going to go out, and I'm not going to have Rowdy Tellez playing first base and batting cleanup in a playoff game. Am I? Like, you're going to go find me somebody that the Brewers were unable or incapable of doing?
Yeah, no question about it.
And then it was funny to see the people who were trying to, like, piss on it. And they're like, well, man, look at his postseason record. It's terrible. Yeah, it's never. It's like, look at the teams he drags into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's why.
And look at the teams that have beaten him. Every time he's been to the playoffs with the Brewers, he's gotten beaten by the team that went on to win the National League pennant. So he got beat by quality opponents every time out.
Yeah.
I mean, they had two cracks to win the pennant in 18, right? That was when they the brilliant strategical move. They started Wade Miley two games in a row. They'll never see a
call him one batter.
He'll face one hitter. Their whole lineup will be screwed. And somehow Dave Roberts was like, like, they did not load up on lefties or on righties against Wade. Right. They played just their normal lineup and it didn't work.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And they haven't won a series since then, but you're right. I mean, they lost to the Nats in that wild game because Trent Grisham, who's like one of the best defensive outfielders in the National League, completely botched a line drive, turned it into a triple. And that screwed him in that one. It worked. It's perfect. I'm so glad the Brewers have never won shit. And then the one real good asset they had, this is what the Cubs are supposed to do. Right.
Yes.
You're the absolutely. One large market team in your division, and you act like it. And you look at what the other teams have, and you're like, "Ooh, Milwaukee's got a nice manager. They can't afford to pay him what we can. We'll just take him."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did.
They never do it, but they finally are doing it, or did it at least. Yeah. Crazy.
Sadly, I think we are stuck with a Packers fan as manager, but, you know, we'll learn to live with that.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know if I can. Now I've got to rethink this whole thing.
Yeah.
Although, what was Ross, do we think?
Yeah, you know, who knows? Jaguars fan or something.
Right.
Or no, or maybe a Falcons fan from Atlanta.
Wasn't Joe a Jets fan because of Joe Namath? And
that sounds about right.
That sounds right. Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't wear a fur coat in the dugout.
Yeah.
You know,
he had to have a little Eagles fan in him, didn't he, Joe? Yeah. Must have a little Eagles, yeah.
And he played, I don't know if you know this, he played college football. And he talked about that incessantly.
He does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's good. It was completely unexpected in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Now all I really need him to do is to, at his press conference, literally show up and hand suitcases to Ian Happ and Nick Madrigal. And I'll be the happiest Cub fan ever. I won't have anything to complain about. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Possibly Chris Morrell if it means Juan Soto's coming back.
Yeah. You know, I would guess, here's a wild idea, I would guess Craig will try to find a position for
Christopher. That's true.
There's a thought.
Yeah, kind of like, I could just see him, like, standing by the cage at the the beginning of spring training. It's like Lou Brown looking at him going, what position does he play? Oh, he doesn't play one. He does now. Yeah. Find him one.
Yeah. Well, I hope he's already called him and been like, start taking ground balls, Christopher, if you're playing third base.
He should certainly be taking ground balls at third base until or unless they sign a third baseman. Then he go take balls somewhere else. I mean, but there's got to be some kind of plan. It's just ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous.
What a segue.
Oh, boy.
We have the one of the oddest Thursday night football games. This game was built for Thursday night. Like, actually, Thursday night was created for Bears-Panthers, where the Bears, for once, they can't lose. If they win, they win. If they lose, they win. Because they have both number one picks of them and the opponent.
Amazing.
How, if there is a way to botch it, though, we'll find out. Because it'll happen.
Right.
Could this be the game, though, that could be the nail in the coffin for getting Eberflus replacement season? Because if you lose to the Panthers, I mean, that just shows you can't do much worse as a coach than that.
Well, and especially coming off the heels of what the Cubs just did to Ross, who was arguably the best of the manager coaches in town. And they shit-canned him, and Flus is, biding his time here.
Yeah, I would think he's... Yeah, Ross is probably two, right behind Billy Donovan. I mean, Billy's actually had success.
Billy has had great success, yeah. Great success.
But other than that, there's not a lot. There's not a lot of proven anything.
No.
I do like... I'm going to say I like him and then hopefully get his name right. It's Luke Richardson, right? The Blackhawks
coach. The Fox
coach,
yep.
Mm-hmm. I just... Every time I see him talk, I like him. He just seems like he's just... Like, he's not... Just no room for bullshit with him.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like that. He looks and feels like a hockey coach.
Right.
Matt looks like a guy who is confused by the McDonald's menu most of the time. What's mango sauce? Don't worry, it's too complicated. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Who are Eggman and Saucy Boy?
Sir, how many pounds is the quarter pounder?
Oh, poor Matt.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the Bears played the Saints on Sunday, and it was everything we previewed. Basically, it was weird and dark in the dome, and And then the Bears actually played well for a half.
They did.
They looked damn good for the first half.
As much as it felt like they were getting, you know, felt like the Saints could march up and down the field at will, the defense kept stopping them. It kept them from ever putting the game away.
For sure.
And then Tyson got in the very giving mood.
Yes.
Interception, fumble. DJ Moore even, that's how bad it got. DJ Moore fumbled. I didn't think it was possible.
DJ Moore fumbled, yeah.
I didn't think anybody could rip the ball out of his hands.
Yeah. Well, this is going to sound a little bit like, well, other than that, how did you like the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But other than the turnovers, Tyson Bagent actually did look pretty good.
Yeah, it's another weird – and even the turnovers, right? So the two interceptions – so it's bad to try to make these – first interception, terrible pass. Just a terrible – there were four – I was honestly surprised the Saints didn't knock the ball away from each other. There were four guys going after that ball. That was terrible. His second interception was a little bit behind. It was Mooney. It was a great play by the defensive back. You expect that to get knocked down. You don't expect that to get intercepted. The third one was way behind. That was a pick. That was a bad throw. And the fumble is not his fault. I mean, the quarterback getting stripped in the pocket. I mean, what, you got eyes in the back of your head?
Right.
And he had played really well, especially in the first half. You know, he threw for 100, almost 150 yards. He ran for almost 60.
We're confident, poised, all the things. Yeah, ran well, ran the boot well. So I think we can say the Bears have found their backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's a legitimate. Yes. He's an NFL quarterback.
No question.
And that's no small thing to find that. Because, I mean, you look around the league.
How many have we had?
Yes, how many have we had? And you look around the league even right now where teams are having to go to their backup, and they have no chance to win. Like when the Rams, when they went to Green Bay and Matthew Stafford couldn't play, there's no way they can win that game. They have Brent Rippon as their backup. The Giants are on their third. They're down to Tommy DeVito, who couldn't even keep the job full-time at Illinois. Well, and he's their quarterback.
Yeah, right. Well, and as you pointed out, he got whacked at the end of Goodfellas. Yes, so right. What, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. So this, I wanted to bring that. I'm glad that you said it the way it is. It made me think of something. I could take notes, but why would I want to do that? I made the big mistake of clicking on a Bleacher Nation Bears link.
Whoa. Oh, no.
Oh, whoever Luis Medina is, they're not a – I mean, there's a gaping head wound there somewhere. But he was all upset that Getsy said that it doesn't really – like, their game plan is set up so that either Bajant or Fields can play. And he's just lost his mind. Oh, my God, how can you do that? How can you – there's no way that they can run the same plays and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, have you been watching? Like, other than you're not going to do – like, you're not going to put in – you're not going to call any of the design quarterback runs with Bajant. But the other stuff
– yeah, all the throws are still the same.
All the throws are still the same. The fact that, you know, you try to spread the field, leave a little room in the middle of the field in case he needs to scramble. I mean, that's – the only difference would be Justin will do it fast, will run faster. Like, Tyson will get rid of the ball faster. Justin will run faster. Otherwise, you can run the exact same stuff. That's one of the reasons why Bajant, they were comfortable with him as the backup. They don't have to change the whole offense just to put the backup in.
No, and they could still run boot. Right. But Bajant ran the boot. Well, he could still he can run fine. Yes. Yep. And by the way, it's the middle of the NFL season. You're not changing an entire NFL offense, you know, on a Tuesday practice. I mean, you know.
Well, this is the same guy though. And that guy got on a wormhole. I started wormhole, rabbit hole, wormhole. I'd be going to a different.
Different galaxy.
Well, I kind of felt like I'd gone through one.
Maybe it was a wormhole.
So there were rumors that the Bears had talked to the Panthers about Brian Burns at the trade deadline, which is not a real shock because they originally tried to get Burns in the trade where they got DJ Moore instead. And this guy's like, oh, what that tells me is that they're going to keep – they're open for business on defensive ends, and they're just going to – and it's like, they got one.
An expensive one.
Did you not notice
very
that?
Very expensive one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they certainly should keep looking. But this, it's funny, this idea, it's like if they called the Commanders about Montez Sweat and they called the Panthers about Brian Burns, they were expecting to get both. Clearly in this guy's mind. Yeah. It's like, that's not how this works, right? You don't, you know, other teams have a say in whether you take their players or not. So you may have to call several teams and try to find out who's available and then what they want, and then maybe you're lucky if you can get one of those deals done.
Yep.
Whew.
Yep.
So that's a page I will not be clicking on those links ever ever again. It made me feel a little bit better about their cup coverage.
There
only,
you go.
Just only a little. I will admit, maybe you guys had the same thing. I wasn't sure Montez was playing.
No, I didn't hear or see too much.
I literally went. I googled Bears number 98. I'm like, isn't Montez Sweat 98? Because 98 was doing nothing.
He did show up in the second half on a couple of plays where actually he. It's like, this is the best the Bears could do these days. Instead of actually, like, shedding the tackle, he was down to the thing Khalil Mack would do, just he's so effing strong. I'm sure Montez is, too, where he was just, like, trying to ram the tackle into the quarterback. Like, I can't get around him, but I'll just slam you into him. And he almost forced a fumble on Carr. But it took me a while I didn't know what number he was. I hadn't looked. And I was kind of like, oh, let's see if I can find him. Yeah, it's not like I don't think that he has a chance to be good. It's just, it's funny. Typically, I mean, we all think of, nobody's ever going to duplicate this. Like Khalil Mack's debut, where he almost single-handedly wrecked that game against the Packers. Like he was everywhere. He was literally just ripping the ball out of guys' hands.
Yeah.
It was not quite the same with Montez. But it was nice to see that he fits in really well with his teammates and that the agreement to not ever get a pass rush is still intact.
Never to wake up the opposing quarterback.
Right. Never give him even a little scare.
Yeah, don't do that.
I will admit that I thought, and I made fun of them both because, you know, I just do. But I thought Jack Sanborn and TJ Edwards both played really well.
Yes. This was probably the best game we've seen from Sanborn all season.
Because he went back to the position he can actually play? Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the coach next year. can look at like Tremaine Edmonds' skill set and go, I know you've been a middle linebacker forever, but we could make you the weak side linebacker and let you just wreak havoc. And then Jack can like clean up the mess in the middle. Because he really, you know, I mean, he made a lot of really nice plays. Much as I like to make fun of Jack Sanborn, I make fun of him partially because I do acknowledge, and I acknowledge last year, I think he's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Maybe the Bears should just sit out drafts and just do the undrafted free agent thing. Because they got Bajent and Sanborn. They're apparently very good at
it. Yeah, that
fill up
got
the whole
nailed.
Team with undrafted with undrafted free agents.
Great plan. Perfect. Cheap.
Well, that would help them, you know, when they go to hire David Ross to replace Eberflus next year. They'll have money left over.
That would be terrific.
He'll definitely fill the concussion quota for the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. he spends the whole game in the blue tent.
Yes.
Like, Dave, I heard this is a concussion tent. It is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got that concussion like 11 years ago. So you could probably come out of the tent.
Well, I still have it.
Yeah. He's got the headset on. He's in the tent. He can't see anything. He wouldn't be hurting the team.
Right.
So there's that. I guess we're recording this on Tuesday. I guess tomorrow is D-Day. We'll find out if Justin's going to play or not. I'm going to base this on nothing. I think he probably is going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he came back at the end of last week and practiced. I think that was always kind of the idea was if we can get you back at the end of the week and get a practice or two, and then we can... I think if he hadn't practiced until Monday, and then they're like, okay, well, you're going to play Thursday, that might have, you know, he might not have passed whatever elaborate test the Bears crack trainers have.
Right.
I wonder what they are. Like, just hand him a ball. Can you hold this? Yep. All right, you're good.
Yeah, but it hurts. Shut up.
Is your heart beating, Justin? All right, good to go. Get in there.
Here, put a mirror under your nose. Oh, there's fog. You're fine. Go in.
Not a vampire. Well, this whole season basically has now become Justin Fields a quarterback for 2024. Yeah. That's what the whole rest of the season is about.
Yeah,
so they found their backup. That's good, but that's the rest of the season is about answering that one question. That's it.
And hopefully he will play 8 games in a row, and it'll help. He hadn't played well in that first half against the Vikings, but he played his best football as a Bear in the, if you want to count the last quarter against the Chiefs, which I always do, after the concussion. I feel like that turned his whole season around. Then through the next 2 games, he was playing the kind of football that you would want him to play if you're going to keep it.
Yeah. Yes.
So
exactly.
If you get him back to that, then I think it should make your decision. It's just not going to be easy. But it would make it easier. Also, if he plays that way, he should be able to get the Bears pick out of the range of Caleb Williams or Drake May. And then you've got if the Panthers slide into that spot, you can either trade it or you can draft Marvin Harrison Jr., which I think would be a very good idea for the Bears.
That would be a really good idea.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So there, that wouldn't be that. So there, we've decided, 3 of us. That's what they should do. All right, good.
Yeah. Good. All right.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys next week.
And then Jim Harbaugh will be the coach. And everything will be great.
How about Ryan Day as the coach? How about that? You know, I was kind of pulling for the Harrod Flues, but he's got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Justin Fields. Can't tell me what his name won't come up at least.
No, of course. And I've talked about this before. I'm sure I remember this crap, but you know, we've talked about this, that the only coach the Bears have ever had that had been a head coach before is John Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm going to steal a line from Steve Cohen, who then didn't do it. So Steve Cohen, when he first, like his first or second press conference after he bought the Mets, said, "I'm not paying people to learn on the job." In other words, I'm going to go find somebody who's done it. Other teams can train these guys how to manage. I'm going to go find one. And then his first chance to hire a manager, because he got, I think he inherited Buck, or at least his second, he hired a guy who'd never been a manager before. the bench coach of the Yankees. Right. But to me, that wouldn't. Why are the Bears? They've proven they can't do it, right?
Clearly,
they can't take a coach who hasn't been a coach. It's worked twice ever.
Yeah,
I guess it worked with Halas, but no one had ever been a pro football coach before. There was nobody to hire.
Exactly,
pro football wasn't it was impossible.
Yeah, predates coaching, right? Yeah.
So of the times they could have done it, they've only done it twice. And I'm sitting here with no name, but
right.
I feel like at this point, maybe you should hire a guy who has won something.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
That's why they should bring back Matt Nagy.
There you go. He meets the criteria. Perfect.
Yeah, well, you know, if the Chiefs blow, you know, a game that they have a big lead in the playoffs this year, should be on red alert for Matt Nagy possibly being rehired again.
It would be funny though if that happens and Ryan Pace convinces the Falcons to get Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody handles it. I talked to him after the last time he blew one, and whoa, I tell you, nobody handles adversity like Matt Nagy. Let's get him. Because I do think Arthur Smith is screwed in Atlanta. So maybe Pace is already, you know. Although I would guess that Ryan Pace wants to be nowhere near Matt Nagy.
Yeah,
dumbass got me fired. Screw
him. Yeah, shit. Right.
Anybody but that guy.
Well, you know, and back to if you wonder if maybe there wasn't a little element of that with the Jed move, like, you know. He doesn't want to be another guy whose bald, dumbass manager got him fired.
Yeah, and then there was the whole, you know, the fact that Jed had never gotten to hire his own manager.
Yep.
And I get the idea that him and Theo, you know, they decided together for Russ, but just Theo made decisions. Jed didn't get to decide anything.
Exactly.
Jed didn't get to pick where they went to lunch. He wasn't picking the manager.
No. He's like, Chipotle again? Shut up, Jed.
He's just the guy going to pick it up.
They have great guacamole. It's handmade.
Yeah, Jed, leave him a nice tip.
Yeah. Yeah, Jed, you can buy, okay?
But yeah, I could see that this was, you know.
A little bit of self-preservation, perhaps, yeah.
It's getting out ahead of it, right?
Yeah.
I wondered, did Jed get a contract extension to put his deal in line? Because Council signed a 5-year contract.
Right.
I don't think no way Jed had 5 years left on his deal.
No, he's only got, it was 21, right? So he's only got 2 more years.
Well, we think the Cubs and the Bears both will extend contracts and never tell anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Nagy and then, Pace got extensions. We didn't know about it. Ross's first extension leaked out like months after he'd signed it. It's like, I'm glad you guys are so confident in these moves that you don't want anybody to know you've done them.
Yeah.
And then completely refuse to answer it when the media does press them on it.
You're right.
We're not going to answer that question, guys.
Yes.
I loved it when they hired, you know, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. They get asked that question and they look at each other. Should we even answer this?
Yes. Yes. Mike and I were live podcasting that press conference.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, oh shit, they're looking at each other because they didn't know if they were allowed to say. It's like, Jesus. What kind of rinky dink operation is this? And yet we still watch it.
Yeah, well, we don't have any choice. We're born into this shit.
The good news is the aforementioned Brian Burns not expected to play. He's injured.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So every little bit helps. The Panthers won a couple of weeks ago. It's funny, you know, they beat the Texans. And
Bryce Young versus C.J. Stroud, yep.
And you know, the Texans are a lot better than the Panthers. I thought one of the best moments of the weekend for the NFL was the Texans kicker got hurt, and they had one of their backup running back, a guy from Wisconsin, come out and kick the field goal, and he made a 29-yard field goal. And the thing I liked the best about it was they showed D'Amico Ryan on the sidelines, and he's trying not to smile. He's just giving it the football coach that was supposed to happen, and he couldn't do it. He froze for like 5 seconds, and then this big shit-eating grin came across his face.
Yep.
That's nice. I like it.
Who do we think would kick if, God forbid, but what if Cairo got hurt?
Hmm.
What bear do we think is coming out to kick? The boring answer is the
punter.
That's
a good question.
That is a good question.
Let's exclude Trenton Gill. He doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah. Huh.
I'm trying to think, is there anyone in the Bears currently with like a soccer background?
Most of the defensive backs look like they don't use their hands.
Yeah. Ah, good one. Good one, Andy.
Cole Kmet. I'll go Cole Kmet.
Well, clearly, I mean, the Bears seem to think he can do everything.
Yeah. With the square toe, the straight on, you know.
Well, when McMichael was the emergency kicker, and he was a straight on kicker at Texas. Yeah. I don't know who it is. It's probably Tyson Bagent. Don't you think? He can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Tyson Bagent. There we go.
Well, he probably had to kick at Shepard. What did you do, Shepard? Well, I was a quarterback, and I was the kicker, and I was the punter, and the long snapper. That was hard, but I figured out how to do that. I could do both at once. We only had 14 guys on the team, so I had to do quite a bit of stuff. If you've ever been to a Division II game, we don't have that many guys.
Yes, man.
Cole Kmet, credit where credit is due. That touchdown catch was a great catch.
Hell of a catch.
Oh, yes, that first one. That was good.
And then,
right in the fingers.
I will admit I did enjoy – I don't like Tiki. Tiki's kind of a pain in the ass. But I do like Matt Ryan and Andrew Catalan. But I think it was Tiki who actually pointed this out. There was Cole caught a pass. It was kind of an improvised play, and they showed the replay, and I'm pretty sure it was Tiki who's like, well, this, talk about getting rewarded. He completely misses the block, which then puts Bagent in, you know, all kinds of trouble. So Bagent just looks for him as a security. So he basically, whiffing on a block, earned him a catch because Bajan's like, here, you take it. He just like, he threw it around the guy to get it to him. It was nice to see Darnell Mooney actually get thrown at.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of them, I think it was Matt Ryan, referred to Kmet and Mooney as Bajan's security blankets. I think that's how this is supposed to work, right? Like, when all else fails, your slot receiver and your tight end should be the guys you can kind of check down to or look, you know. I mean, I don't blame Justin. His security blanket is just throw it somewhere near DJ Moore, which is not a bad idea.
Not at all.
But that seems to be it, which is fine. Where's two? Just throw it somewhere near him.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice. Has Avia's shirts, you know, they have the 1 + 2 = 6 shirt for Fields to Moore for a touchdown.
Moore.
Do they have 17 + 85 = 6?
No,
Kmet. I bet they do now.
They
can don't give away any free ideas.
They
Andy.
Can put them right by the Schwizdom shirts at the back of the store.
Yeah. Do they have a Bajan's agents shirt yet? That would seem like that's something they would do.
I don't know what their Bajan shirt was. Secret Bajan.
Was it
man?
Just Secret Bajan man? Yeah,
Bajan man sounds like something. Right, yeah.
Or did they scramble the letters around? Oh, it spells gas money, too. Oh, the irony. Like, what? No, it doesn't. Go with it. All right, fine. Whatever.
I just think it was a little weird that, you know, they showed some highlights coming back from commercial break of, like, the path going down the Saints locker room, and there's, like, a quote from Matt Ryan on one of the walls in the Saints, like, pathway to their locker room. It's like, aren't the Saints and Falcons like a really big rivalry? Like, why would you be putting that quote in your locker room?
What was the quote? I didn't see it. What was the quote? You guys suck, Matt Ryan.
Right.
They use it for motivation. They did show the tackling dummy that they had, that they still have his jersey on, which I thought was pretty funny.
No, I think it was something about how like intense of an environment
like
it
is
to play in New Orleans. Yeah.
Do the Bears have "I own you" on the tunnel?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Probably do. Hey, see, this is where this happened with, like, I always felt like if Jay had been more of the kind of pedantic showman that Brett Favre was. It would have served him better. Like, I always talked about this. When he got injured in the NFC Championship game, he came out, he limped out, he tried to play. He didn't even limp out. He came out, he tried to play, realized his knee wasn't going to let him. He couldn't even stand up, and he came out of the game. And everybody said he was, you know, players started ripping him, said he was a puss and all that stuff. If that had been Favre, he would have gone out, tried to play, fallen down, like in front of everybody, made this huge scene about how injured he was, then pretended to try to stay in the game, and then left. And he would have been this, like, big hero. I wanted Fields to like, play catch on the field before the game, Aaron Rodgers style, just to show how close he was to coming back.
That would be great.
That this whole idea that Aaron Rodgers standing there throwing, basically stationary, is proving anything. Is just the most ridiculous. Oh, look, he's close to coming back. Is he? He's standing there, putting very little weight on his left leg. They're like, he doesn't have a boot on.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because he had his surgery like 2 months ago. They took the boot off. They take the boot off after like 10 days and make him walk around without it.
Right.
No. But, you know, I don't know. The Packers must have like a, whichever Harlan they still have. Actually, I don't think they do. Didn't they have to fire theirs for? Which would? No, the
Bob
Bears.
Harlan.
The Bears Harlan got kicked out of the NFL for gambling, right? I think that's right. There was Kevin Harlan, and then there's their dad. Was there their dad who worked for the Packers forever? Bob
was their dad. Yeah.
And then the Bears had Brian, and he got in trouble for gambling. I wonder if Bob set up the whole propaganda thing in Green Bay where they teach the quarterbacks, like, okay, here's what you do. Here's how you milk this shit. The fans will eat it up.
Yes.
Because it does apparently work. Do we think the Panthers are maybe regretting picking... I wanted to almost call him Bryce Harper. They should have drafted Bryce Harper. Bryce Young instead of C.J. Stroud.
They may be.
C.J. only threw for 480 yards yesterday.
They may be, yeah.
But in their head-to-head contest. You know, Young won. So clearly he's better.
Exactly.
There you go.
At least now there's no regret on the Texans' part for winning that final game to give the Bears the number one pick, though. Because
they made that work just fine.
Yeah.
I think they're going to regret, as good a player as Will Anderson is, I do think they're going to regret giving up their number one next year, though, just to move up like three spots to draft him. Because it's still, I mean, they're playing pretty well, but they're not going to win that many games.
Right.
That seemed like an overpay at the time. So it is weird. I mean, the scenario gets less and less as the Texans win a few games, but there is a chance that the first four picks in the draft, in some order, could be owned by two original Chicago football teams.
The Bears
and the Cardinals. Because the Cardinals have their own and the Texans, and the Bears have their own and the Panthers.
You're telling me the Hammond Pros aren't in the running?
Somebody was the Steamrollers. Providence? Yes, the Providence Steamrollers.
Right.
I don't know that they still have... nobody has a sweet deal in the NFL like the Spirit of St. Louis. The old ABA. In lieu of... when the ABA was dissolving, their ownership somehow worked out a deal where instead of taking like this huge amount of, at the time, huge amount of cashing in for the basically dissolving their franchise, they took a share of the broadcast revenue, and they still get it. Every time the NBA signs a new deal, this family in St. Louis gets this obscenely big check, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every time, and it'll go on forever because of the way the deal is written. The NBA has tried to buy them out of it multiple times, and they won't do it. They're like, no, that's okay.
Yeah, right. We're good.
No, it's a money making machine. That's a good deal.
You guys know what the spread is on Thursday night?
Oh, I'd say Bears by 4.
I will go Bears right around where Pusateri's at. I'll say Bears -3.
You guys are both sides of it. Bears 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5.
Ah, there we go.
And the over-under is 6.
No. 6.
What is the over-under? 39 is the over-under. Ooh. How about the fact, and it was the most predictable thing ever, Iowa Northwestern, with the lowest over-under in NCAA Division I history, went under.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Did you see what Iowa's is for this upcoming week, too? I think it's like 28.5. Yeah.
I just want them to give him an over-under of 3. Just 3.
Yes. Single-digit over-under.
Yeah. Somebody scores a safety, and that's all the scoring for the game.
You went to the last Wrigley game, right, Mike? Because it was Prisburg who was playing it. Did they have nets behind the goalposts for that one? Because they didn't even bother to put them up. They were just letting them kick the.
No, they
figured
didn't.
Nobody's going to kick. But when they did, they just kicked it right into the bleachers, and then the fans threw the ball back for them.
That's great.
Did anyone try? Well, didn't have enough scoring for it, but would have been cool if like one of the kickers tried to kick it on a Sheffield.
Yeah, you would think.
See, give them an extra point for that.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
So there was a question, I think it was today on Good Morning Football. It was. So, because the running back from the Texans made the field goal, 29-yard field goal. So they asked the panel if any of them thought, if they gave him 5 attempts, if they could make a 29-yard field goal. Hmm. And Gerald McCoy was filling in for Jason McCourty because Jason's in Germany getting ready to do the game. And he said he knew he couldn't. And he told a story about they had a bunch of kids at practice one day, and they were like doing stuff. And he said, "Anybody want to try to kick a field goal?" And he goes, "I'll try it." And he goes, "I kicked it." He goes, "I barely got it off the ground, and it went way left." He goes, "Left ground ball. There's no way I could do it." I think the only person who said they could make it, was Jamie Erdahl, the post. And she didn't. She left out a key piece of information. She played basketball and soccer in college. But she did reveal that her husband, at the time he graduated from high school, was the all-time leading scorer in Minnesota State high school football history. And he was a kicker, and he thought he could teach it. So I ask you guys, do either of you think that if we gave you 5 chances, you could make a 29-yard field goal?
No shot. I think no shot that way.
Maybe when I was in high school, not these days.
So, I wasn't as handsome as Andy Reid, but I was in punt, pass, and kick when I was in. When was that?
Nice.
Okay.
Junior high and maybe freshman year, I still did it. I think it was young enough to do it, and I made a few field goals.
Okay. Nice.
But they added a thing to their scenario that I knew that I would not make it, and that was. You have to kick it like live, like with the line and no, because even as a youth, when I was spry, I can't do the thing that a kicker has to do, which is get the ball up really fast. Like you can't just kick it. You can't hit it like a golf ball. It can't just go long and low and work its way up because you're going to hit you'll hit your snapper in the ass, much less the line.
It has to
get up pretty fast, and then you have to. There's no way in hell you could give me 1,000 kicks, and there's no way.
Yeah, it has to be like a slap shot in hockey where you bring your leg before the ball and then go up as you kick it. Yeah.
On my high school team, we had a foreign exchange student from Brazil who came and he played with us our senior year. And so he wanted to be the kicker. He was very disappointed. He came, we didn't have a soccer team, so he didn't have anything to play. He'd played soccer in Brazil, and he wanted to play. So he came to the football team. And the two things I remember about Pedro, of course he was named Pedro, was the first, like, it was October. The first game he thought was cold. It was like in the 50s. But for Pedro, that was cold.
Oh yeah.
He was dressed like Randy in A Christmas Story. He couldn't bend his knees. He couldn't bend his arms. He had like every piece of clothes. Like when Joey put on all of Chandler's clothes, that's how Pedro showed up dressed for. And the coach is like, "You can't kick a football like that. You got to take all that stuff off. Oh, I'm gonna freeze to death." He's like, "Well, no, you're not." The other thing he tried to convince him was our coach wanted him to kick extra points straight on.
Okay.
Like old fashioned. That's how all the dopey white farm kids were doing it. And And he's like, just do it. And Pedro's like, well, I can kick, you know, he's kicking soccer style.
Yeah.
And our coach is like, yeah, but you only make like half of them. He goes, just line up straight ahead. You have a really strong leg. Just for the extra points, you'll make every single one. Okay. And Pedro's like, no, I'm going to kick it like this. And so we had like one of our backup linemen we had this soccer player who could kick the ball like 60 yards. He attempted like four kicks all year because we would just send out the lineman who would make the extra point.
Nice.
It's like, all right. So, excuse me. So that's kicker talk for this week. All right. So in the battle of the Bears and the Panthers, there's three possible scenarios. Bears could win. The Panthers could win. It could be a tie. What do we think is the preferred scenario for the Bears? I think the one we can rule out is you don't want a Panther win.
Right.
And they only have the one win. You want them, you know, don't want that. Even you're not tanking in this one. You want to beat them because they're your better chance to get the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
So it's either a win or a tie. What would be the preferred outcome given all things considered?
Oh, I think at this point in the season with, you know, Kyler Murray is going to be back for Arizona seemingly this week, maybe.
Yep.
They might start winning some games. They're currently in the number one pick slot right now.
Yep.
I feel like you have a better chance of improving the Panthers pick than your own pick. So I think I would go Bears win.
All right, Bears win. All right.
Well, I think you want, I mean, you want the fewer wins, the better for the draft position. So I would say Bears tie.
I think you're right. I think mathematically, and we were joking before we started recording that we should, if Steve Kornacki wasn't busy tonight with election night, we would have him on to tell us, but I think mathematically the preferred outcome is a tie. Both teams win, both teams lose, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I doubt ask Matt Eberflus if he'll settle for the tie, I don't think you're getting his agreement.
Probably not.
He's like, I've only won five of these fucking things in 2 years. I am not tying.
Yeah.
So. Do we think if the Bears lose... And you know, this was one of the three danger points of the season that we identified for Matt. Especially given, you know, I'm sure Ryan Poles, you know, probably I'm sure he subscribes to the Pointless Exercise newsletter. He's probably listening to Praz's podcast last night.
Yeah.
Thinking, ooh, the Cubs got a lot of buzz by doing this. I mean, do we think say they lose to the Panthers at all? I'm not even saying they get beat 30-10. What if they lose to the Panthers? Is there a chance that for the first time ever, the Bears have an interim coach?
I don't think so at this point in the season. There's nothing worth saving.
I think it's a really interesting question. I kind of think they'd have to lose by like two touchdowns. Yeah. Kind of like you were. Yeah, I think it'd have to be a pretty convincing. Yeah,
I think they'd have to embarrass themselves against a terrible team.
Right.
And then Poles might look at it like we just can't. I can't sell this shit anymore.
Right. Yeah, and the Cubs just did it, which doesn't help Flus. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I could see it if it's a loss that is like strictly because of a terrible coaching error, maybe.
Yeah, like if he does the thing that Nathaniel Hackett did last year where he fucks up and they don't get the – say they're in field goal position at the end of the game, but they don't actually get the kickoff.
Yeah.
And they lose because they couldn't get Cairo on the field to kick a game-winning field goal. Yeah, that would probably – that might be his undoing.
Yes.
But they are – I mean, they're firing coaches one at a time.
It's such a
so pretty soon they're going to be down to just like the last three or four guys,
right? If Flus is just coaching in every position, they get fired. Right? It's just running backs coach, a defensive coordinator.
Like, okay, we're firing you as head coach, but you're still running backs coach and defensive coordinator. God damn it! Yeah.
That'd be great.
We're still paying you, buddy. You're going to have to show up and do your job. All right. Well, so I asked you what we think the preferred one is, but what do you think is going to happen? Is there going to be a Victory Friday?
I think so. I'm gonna say the Bears win and cover.
I will say that the Bears will win, but it will be the Panthers that cover. Ooh. I just think it goes to overtime.
Ooh.
We get a game-winning field goal from Cairo.
Okay.
I think it will be a basically a redo of the Raiders game, where the Bears basically comfortably win. Don't dazzle you with their brilliance, but you at a point where they score early and you never really feel like they're going to get beat.
Right.
So,
how many? I would not have wanted to have been L. Michael's swear jar at home this week. I'm sure he's not. How many complaints will we hear from Al about the game and the teams?
He won't hide it. I think Al will give it a chance. Like, if it turns into some kind of entertaining, like two young quarterbacks, you know, making plays, he'll go with it. And early on, when he realizes that's not what it's going to be, I think then we'll just get a constant stream of backhanded compliments and passive-aggressive comments about,
okay. All right.
Well, at least we enjoy it. You know, you come to Chicago, you can always have a good meal, Kirk.
Did you go to the Willis Tower?
Al leaves at halftime, just decides, fuck it, go to a steakhouse.
Yeah.
Kirk, you want to handle this? I'm out of here. Like, what?
I'm
Al Michaels. Well, you're not going to fire me.
I'd rather actually eat a vegetable than watch this game.
Because it's on Amazon Prime, I will make the recommendation again that you, when you watch the game, pick the alternate feed for the Next Gen Stats feed. It's kind of an all 22, but it's not. It's a little closer than that. But they put the cool little, like, they identify who the players are. Sometimes if there's a thing they've written into the software that if a player, if they think he's blitzing, he, like, glows. So you watch it at home, he's like, ooh, this guy looks like he's going to blitz. It'll show you how fast guys are running.
Okay.
All kinds of shit you don't need.
Interesting.
But when you're watching a game between two awful teams, any kind of distraction is probably worth it.
It's going to help. Yeah.
Or watch the Spanish feed. Maybe learn a few words.
That's good, too.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right, gents. Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. I mean, got to congratulate the Dolan family.